he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, that that would be the attitude of all of our lives. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm redirecting the praise to the one in whom it rightly belongs. Where Herod took the praise and the glory for himself, John redirects and says, listen, I have to decrease so that he may increase. How life-changing would that be for you? If you began to redirect the praise. Hey, as we get into the message, let me ask you this question. Who here has ever been guilty of being a glory hog? Mm-hmm. Who's sitting next to a liar right now? Yeah. Yeah. We've all wanted the glory for ourselves. We've all been there, done that. And as we think about that, I want to ask you a few questions this morning as we start. And that's number one is this. When a win comes in your life, who gets the glory? When something amazing happens, maybe at work or in the family or something, or, you know, you find, you know, a $100 bill on the ground. I don't know. What if something win comes in your life, who gets the glory? Who do you give the credit to? And then I should also ask you this question too. When the praise comes your way, when somebody starts thinking you're amazing and starts telling you that, and the praise comes your way, where do you send that praise? Do you keep it or do you pass it on to God? How many here have been guilty of keeping it before? Yeah, I think that would be all of us. I think the problem that we miss out on oftentimes is that our glory fades. Did you know that? The praise fades, the success fades, the win fades. It doesn't sustain us all the way. And we have that problem because we become glory hogs. We become glory hogs. We're in our series, The After Party, and we've been talking about everything that happened after the resurrection of Jesus. We've been going through the book of Acts, and we find ourselves today in Acts chapter 12, and there is a whole bunch of things going on. The church is growing like gangbusters. People are getting saved. They've been dispersed hundreds and hundreds of miles from Jerusalem because of persecution. And God is doing amazing things. And we come across this guy in Acts chapter 12 named Herod, who was a bigwig in the Roman Empire. And he kind of has this issue because he wants all the glory for himself. And to get the glory, what he does is he starts persecuting the church and killing Christians. And the people who hated Christians started telling him how amazing he was for doing it. So he said, that's great. I'm going to kill more Christians. And so he arrests Peter and puts Peter in jail. And then Peter has the most amazing prison escape in history. While he's chained between Roman soldiers, God comes in, an angel of the Lord comes in, and the chains fall off. Because how many know God's a chain breaker? And the chains fall off, and then he gets out, and he thinks he's having this weird vision, realizes he's really escaping from prison. And then the next morning, all the Roman guards are in an upheaval because they're, how did this guy escape? And these guys are standing there with chains, and they look, and Peter's gone, and they have no idea where he went. And so Herod does the only thing that's logical, because now his plans for getting more accolades from people are ruined, so he kills all the Roman soldiers that were involved. And so in a huff, he gets mad. He says, fine, well, that didn't work out. I got to get praise somewhere. So he leaves there and he goes to Judea. And this is where we pick up our story this morning. And what we're going to learn is that glory hogs fade, but God's glory remains. I want you to think about that. Glory hog, if you're trying to get glory for yourself, you can define glory however you want. It could be you're trying to get success for yourself. You're trying to get money for yourself. You're trying to get people's praise for yourself. You're trying to get famous for yourself. All these things have to do with glory. Glory hogs fade, but God's glory remains. Watch this come out to play in real life and Herod's life. Acts chapter 12, it says, then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Remember, he just started killing Christians, so that didn't work out. So now he changed his tactics. He had been quarreling with some people from Tyre and Sidon, and they now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. So some political stuff's going on. Herod's involved in the politics of the day, and he's trying to, you know, muscle his way around and create peace and do some things and make himself look good. And it says, on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robe, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. Now, watch what happens. They shouted, he's talking, they shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. That sounds fun. Famous historian Josephus said that when God struck him, it took him 5 days to be eaten by the worms and died. 5 days. I'm hoping that by this example, you will take what I'm about to talk about very seriously. Not that everyone who fails, you know, in this context, God will use such extreme measures that you will be eaten by worms and die, but on the slight chance that it might happen, we're going to learn what we can from this story. He was eaten by worms and died, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. You see, our glory fades, but God's glory remains. Oftentimes, we think to ourselves, if I can get more glory for me, I will become happy and fulfilled and complete. So put it in your context. If I can get more success for me, if I can get more money for me, if I can get more friends for me, if I can get a greater following for me, if I can become more famous for me, I'll become content and successful and happy, and I'll really understand what the real meaning of life is. And I become a glory hog because I want it all for me. Let me help you. Maybe you're like, I don't connect with any of those things. If you give no time for God, you are a glory hog. Because you're not giving any glory to God. You're a glory hog. And there's a serious downward spiral to being a glory hog. And this is how the spiral goes. It starts with this. Glory hogs start with pride. In other words, it's all about me. This was Herod's problem. It's all about me. I want it to be all about me. And then they chase the applause. And I want you and your life to be all about me. This is a very selfish person. And the problem is that glory hogs are left empty and their lives end in death. Not just a physical death, because we all die, but a spiritual death, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And that's where becoming a glory hog gets us into trouble. It's a very serious problem, and that takes us into a serious downward spiral in our life. So we need to shift gears. If you find yourself this morning in that downward spiral, you've been living only for you, then we need to shift gears. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. See how God helps us to understand stuff? The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You and I wither and fall. You and I only last a short time. You and I, our glory fades, but the glory that God has, the glory that God deserves, the glory that God is achieving lasts forever. And so that should change the way that we live. Herod placed himself above God, and as a result, he took what only belonged to God. And he said, man, you know, everybody's like, man, this is the voice of God. You're amazing. You're such an amazing speaker. You're an amazing person, Herod. Look how you dealt with this political stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. I've been thinking that way about myself for some time. And I'm so glad you finally have come to understand the same things that I have come to understand. I'm a pretty awesome person. And they're like, you're not just a human. You got the voice of God. And he believed it. And he craved it. And he desired it. And he wanted it for himself. This was Satan's problem. Satan wanted the glory that only God had for himself. And this is our sinful nature problem. We want the glory that God has for ourselves. And Herod said, man, I want that all for myself. And he said, I'm going to take it all for myself. Instead of saying, no, you know what? That's not right. The glory actually belongs to God. And that road leads us to death. The problem with chasing our own glory is that it dies with you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, it says, for the wages of sin is, everybody nice and loud?
Death.
The wages of sin is death. The wages of self-glory, of being a glory hog, is death. That's what sin is all about you. Your satisfaction, your pleasure, your wants, your desires, that's what sin is all about. What can I do in contrast to what God wants me to do? Rebellion. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Who here is so thankful that God gives us a way out? God helps us to get out of our selfishness. He gives us a way out of being a glory hog. And he says, man, the wages of sin is death. This is the paycheck owed to you for being a glory hog is death. Herod saw that in real time. But I want you to know there's another way, and it's Jesus. And that way can shift the focus from us to God, because glory hogs steal what belongs to God. That's what happens when we become a person who's self-focused, a person that only cares about themselves, a person that only is worried about our glory and our comfort and our design and our desire and our plan and our purpose. We steal what rightly belongs to God. And you know what? God doesn't share his glory with anyone. In fact, the Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 42. It says, I am the Lord. That's my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. I'm not going to give it to anyone else. This is the problem with wanting to be famous. The problem with wanting to be famous, and we have so much part of our culture, especially with our young people, I want to be famous. I want to have a huge following on social media. I want to be a singer. I want to be sing for the masses. And also, oftentimes, the problem is that you want to do that, not because you want to sing for the Lord, but because you want to get the praise that only belongs to the Lord. And that becomes a microcosm of all of our life. I want to be successful, not because I want to be successful for the Lord, but because I want to have success so I can have more stuff and more power and more prestige. You see what a twisted world it can become if we become a glory hog? And then all of a sudden, my time and my priorities and my mission become more important than the things of God, and then that glory hog-ism becomes entangled in our life. And we need to not be people who steal what actually belongs to the Lord, because he doesn't share it with anyone else. Glory hogs fade, but God's glory remains. So let's ask this question this morning as we're thinking about this, as we're kind of challenging ourselves with this message, because honestly, I could have preached about a lot of different things in Acts chapter 12, but I saw this and it was the whole eaten by worms thing that kind of stuck out to me. It's like, that sounds like fun. Let's preach on that. But I wanted us to get to this point, church, where we kind of had just this moment of humility as a people of God, where we're saying, you know what, let's remind ourselves this morning why we are here. The chief purpose of man is to give God glory. You were created to give God glory. That's why you are here. That's why he made you. That's why you were born. That's why you breathe in and out, to give God glory. Make no mistake. That's the only reason you really exist. Yeah. And that's a humbling thought, to give God glory. So let's ask this question this morning. How can we do that? How can you give God glory instead of being a glory hog? Because I don't know about you, I would rather give God glory than be a glory hog and have the slight chance of being eaten by worms. Anybody, any other amens? Some of you are still thinking about it. I don't even understand that. You're like, I don't know. I'm going to need a few days. The answer should be yes. I'd rather give God glory. Because that's why we were created. How do we do that? Please write this down. You need to redirect the praise. You need to redirect the praise. When you get praise, where does it go? Does it go to you, or do you deflect to God? If you've read the New Testament, in the New Testament, there was this man named John, John the Baptist. Maybe you've heard of him. And he was actually biological cousins with Jesus, and he was born a little bit sooner than Jesus. He's a little bit old. He's older cousin syndrome. But he had an amazing ministry. Jesus hadn't started his ministry. He had an amazing ministry, and people were coming to him like crazy, getting baptized, hearing him preach. He had the biggest church in town. He had the biggest social media following. His YouTube channel was off the hook. I mean, he had all kinds of things. You know, he had a little entourage of interns. He had all this stuff, and it was amazing. It was John the Baptist, baby. That was the guy. And then one day along comes Jesus. And John the Baptist stops what he's doing. He says, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He baptizes Jesus, and Jesus begins his ministry. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is preaching and teaching and doing miracles. Blind eyes are being opened. Demons are coming out. It's amazing. And everyone starts following Jesus. And then all of John's interns are mad. They're like, what is going on? I joined this internship to be part of something amazing. And now everybody's following Jesus. I thought I was going to be a megachurch pastor too. And so they go to John. They're all in a huff. And here's what they said. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, the Lamb of God guy, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him. And I'm not happy. To this, John replied, a person can receive only what is given them from heaven. Can you just let that soak in for a minute? A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. Stop right there for a second. We broke a lot of chains in first service by what I'm about to tell you right now. Because if you pay attention to this verse, it helps all of us with our glory hogness. You are not the Messiah. Some of you really needed that. You're not the Messiah. John says, I'm not the Messiah. He goes, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. Now, remind you what this terminology means. When the Bible describes the church, it uses language to understand how much God cares for the church. In the Bible, the church, you and me, are described as the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the groom. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens to him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, John said, and is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, that would be the attitude of all of our lives. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm redirecting the praise to the one in whom it rightly belongs. Where Herod took the praise and the glory for himself, John redirects and says, listen, I have to decrease so that he may increase. How life-changing would that be for you? If you began to redirect the praise. Instead of being a glory hog, we say, no. It's all about him. And I give him all the praise and all the glory. I'm going to decrease so that he might increase in my life. Because let me tell you right now, when your praise starts going up, God's help starts coming down. And it'll radically change your life. Because the truth is, don't just give God more glory, give him all glory. Can you say all with me? Give him all glory. Too often, we're guilty, and I'm guilty of it too, we give God an honorable mention. You know what I'm talking about? Like a little token godness in our life. I did it, I did it, I did it, I did it. Woo, I did it. Thank God. I achieved all these great things in my life, and you see this a lot of times with people who have fame, where they achieve great things in their life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they achieve all these things, and they have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with Jesus. Maybe even some of it's tainted with immorality and all these things that are of the world. And then they get up and they're like, "Well, I just like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But they lived nothing else in the rest of their life has to do with giving glory to God. And John says, listen, I need to decrease so that he may increase. I'm not giving him some of the glory. I'm giving him all of the glory. Because when I say I'm going to give him more glory, what it implies is that I'm still keeping some of the glory for myself. I don't want to just give him more. Like, okay, well, today I think I'm going to give you 32%. But I'm going to give him all the glory. Because he's worthy of all the glory. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 115, it says, not to us. Everyone say, not to me. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. All the glory. I want to give him all of the glory. And that should be very humbling for us. In fact, this should be very humbling for all of us. And that's this: glory hogs ignore the Creator. God's people kneel to him. And we steal what belongs to God when we ignore him. I think it's important for us to remember who is the Creator and who is the created. Did you catch that? I think it's important for us to remember who's the Creator and who's the created. You are created by God. You are created by his power. And we recognize that as we come into this moment, hopefully this morning, where we start redirecting our praise and we remind ourselves who's really in charge here. And that's God who created us. Think about it this way. The other day, I was at a Lego store with my granddaughter. And Legos have come a long ways. When I was a kid, it was just cool to try and make a spaceship. It was just like two blocks this way and two blocks this way, and that was your spaceship. That was it. And then now they have all kinds of things. They have flowers. They have spaceships. Well, I was at the Lego store, and they had a big dragon. I'm like, I want that in my office. That's awesome. And they have all kinds of things. So I'm looking, and they have little people now. If you're not familiar, they have these little people, and you can take these little Lego people, and you can pick their legs out. You can pick their torso. You can pick their arms. You can pick the color of their skin. You can pick their head, if they have a beard or not. You can pick the color of their hair. You can make them wear a helmet their entire life. You can give them you can do whatever you want. So let's just for this morning's sake, let's just use our imaginations. And I go into the Lego store, and I pick out a little guy. And I pull him out, and I pick out his legs, and I pick out his body, and I pick out his arms. And I give him a little, nice little helmet, because those are cool. I give him a beard, because I can't grow one. And I give him a little work briefcase, because he's got to be successful, have some money. And I'm like, man, this guy is awesome. So I'm like, let's give him a house. I build him a little Lego house, something like rustic, kind of in the mountains, a little Lego trees, a little Lego pond for him to fish at. I mean, this guy's got it all, and like, this guy needs something. So I create him a little Lego four-wheel drive, This is for him to, go to work, but also have a little fun on the weekends. He's got a little Lego four-wheel drive. I'm like, man, my dude is doing awesome. You know, maybe I little make a little Lego girl for him to date, and, you know, she's nice, and, you know, she's probably, you know, vegetarian, and... And so this is going awesome. Like, I really like this guy. So I'm going to give him a Lego boat. So I build a little Lego boat for him. And he's like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, this guy is so awesome. I'm going to go next level. And I'm going to give him a Lego spaceship. Because this guy needs more blessing. It's amazing. So I give him a Lego spaceship. And he's like, wow, man. And then one day, the Lego guy turns to me. And he says, I'm mad at you. I don't like the way you're doing things. I have created all these things for myself. Look at this house I built for myself. Look at this great job I've built for myself. I've got a great bank account I've made for myself. I got a nice car I drove I bought for myself. I created myself a nice spaceship because I'm that smart. I don't like how you're handling things. I don't really need you. In my life, I've got it all handled. I don't believe you exist. Wow. Worms. Lego worms. And instead of giving me glory, he takes the glory for himself. Wow. And we do this. Herod did that. He took what belonged to God. And instead of giving God glory, he said, it belongs to me. And we need to remind ourselves who is the creator and who's the created. We are the created. He is the potter. And we are the clay. He's sovereign, and I am not. And all things come from his hand. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, the elders bow down before the throne of God, and it says, worthy are you, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created. All things are from his hand. How much, with that in mind, how much praise does he really deserve? All of it. Not some of it, not part of it, not just praise on the weekends, but he needs all of it. Deserves all of it. Maybe you're here today and you have been dealing with the glory hog. Maybe you're feeling a little convicted right now, as we all should. And maybe you're dealing with this glory hog. Maybe it's time for you to kill the hog. In Hawaii, they have this great way of hunting hogs. I'm a hunter. I know we're in California, but I'm proud of that fact. And they have this great way of hunting hogs where they chase them down with a dog, and hogs can become a very big nuisance, ruining farms and crops and all kinds of things. So they have to control the population. So they chase them down to the dog, they get them in a corner, they get them in a hole, whatever, and they grab them by the back of the leg, and then they stab them in the heart. Isn't that violent? I love it. And I'm always interested who's going to leave my church when I talk about this kind of stuff. Like, I know that pastor kills things. This is a great message. Being a glory hog has to do with your heart. Herod's issue was a heart issue. And I'm believing that the Word of God is going to penetrate our hearts so that we might get rid of this propensity that we have for being glory hogs and taking what really belongs to God. Because it all belongs to him, because he's first. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, it says Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. That means God and Jesus are one. There's one God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made all things we can see and things that we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Say it for him. For him. That's you. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Amen. Is he first in your life? First in everything. He's above all. He's above all. Glory hogs fade, but God's glory remains. I want to be a person who gives God all the glory. Because what God does is going to continue to flourish. In fact, we see that in Acts. Herod died, but what happened? Verse 24, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Flourish. I'm going to tell you right now, your life will radically change if you start every day and you finish every day giving God glory. If you have this heart and this attitude, God, I want to kill that glory hog in my life, and I'm going to give you praise, and I'm going to give you glory for everything in my life. Yes. That's called an upward spiral. Everyone say upward. Upward. An upward spiral. There's an upward spiral of giving God glory, and it goes like this. Giving God glory starts with humility. I come to him, and I recognize, God, I'm created by your hand, and you deserve all the glory that I can possibly ever give for my entire life. It starts with humility. And it chases after Jesus Christ. Jesus, you're first in my life. And because we do that, we start living actually fulfilled lives. And that life doesn't end in death. It ends in eternal life. That's what I want. Is that what you want? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. Not maybe. It is time. That you stopped giving God a back seat. You stopped giving Jesus a back seat. He's not your hobby to be played with. He is the Lord Almighty. And he's worthy of all glory and all praise, and our entire life belongs to him. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a few minutes in worship, and we're gonna give God all the glory. Now, you can choose to sit in your seat. You can choose to stand there and be a spectator. You can choose to say, no, I'm not going to get out of my comfort zone. But let me tell you, God will get all the glory whether you give it to him or not. Because every knee will bow.